You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Who loves tech? Few of us. Many of us like our smartwatches. Oh, there's another one through there. Yep. Waving at me through the window. I love tech. Smartwatches, maybe smartphones. Who likes their phone? Who's got a RoboVac? Does the menial cleaning tasks for them? No? Oh, you should get one. I'll save up for one day. Smart speakers. Modern cars that have tech in them. Okay, the list could go on and on and on, couldn't it? Many of us love technology. Who's a little wary when it comes to technology? Anyone? Probably more people. It mightn't necessarily be that you're against technology, but you just maybe struggle to keep up a bit. You've just got your head around one thing, like the dial telephone, and then all of a sudden they go to this digital thing, and then before you know it, you're talking to a phone to call someone, and it's just all too much. Well, they do an upgrade. That's right. We might have felt okay with computers, and you know, we might be familiar with using a laptop or something like that, but feel a little uneasy when it comes to advancements in AI, artificial intelligence, and what that might mean for jobs or even for our society moving forward. We don't want to come across as being paranoid, but we can't help but wonder if our society is looking a whole lot more like that one that George Orwell wrote about in his famous classic novel, 1984. Many of us mightn't necessarily be against technology, but we certainly have concerns with how advancements in technology are shaping us and our society. Now, regardless of which camp we sit in, what is crystal clear is that technology ain't going anywhere. Tech is here to stay, whether we like it or not. We can't escape the influence of technology, no matter how hard we might try. Laura and I, actually, we went away for our anniversary for a day, and we went to some nice hot springs, and it was meant to be a tech-free zone. So they told you when you arrived, you know, you got a locker, you got a little wristband, and you scan it, and you leave your devices in there, so you can just enjoy the peace and tranquility. Tech-free. And then what do I hear when we're relaxing in a pool? Someone's phone going off, playing some music, and I felt like grabbing that phone and throwing it in the pool, but I didn't do that because I'm a pastor. But you know what I mean? No matter how hard you try, you can't get away from technology. You turn on a kettle, you use a light. I'm using a microphone right now so you can hear me. Every time we even get dressed every day, what are we doing? We're utilizing technology. Advancements in technology, and we're benefiting from technology too. So today, what I want to do is I want to wrestle with some important questions. How should we, as followers of Jesus, approach technology? Does Scripture say anything about technology? Is technology inherently bad, as some would say, or, like many things in our world, can technology be redeemed or harnessed in such a way that it could be used to further God's priorities, to actually extend God's kingdom of hope and light and love in a world that desperately needs all those things? How about we pray as we open God's word and think and talk tech together today? Loving God, we praise you. We praise you that you are a good God. You're a kind God. You're a merciful God. And Lord, today as we think tech, as we talk tech, Lord, we want to be led by you. We want to hear what you want to say to each of us today. So Lord, where there might be anxiety around this topic, we pray that you would still the storm in us. Where there might be even a tendency to embrace every new tech without even thinking of the ethical consequences of that tech, we pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment. And Lord, we pray today as we start this conversation that it would not end here with what I share, what you have led me to prepare and say, but Lord, that we would be continuing the conversation with you as we go about our days and our weeks, as we read the news, as we consider different developments, Lord, would we continually be led by you and not just embrace everything, but be discerning and wise as you call us to be with anything, whether it's tech, whether it's relationships, whatever it is. So God, have your way this morning, we pray. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's probably wise to start with a solid definition for technology. And I went to a really modern form of technology. It's called a dictionary, Merriam-Webster one. And I actually used the newfangled version of this tech. I didn't look for the book on the bookshelf. I just went online. And this is what they define technology as. They say, technology is the invention of useful things to solve problems. That's tech. That's a good basic definition. You could extend that a little bit, and I'd say perhaps get on a similar train of thought to biblical thinking on this topic if we said that technology can include the creation of things to make life easier and the creation of things to help in the beautification of God's creation. Yeah? Tools that we can utilize to help shape our world, our society, and our relationships with people. Yeah? Think about it. We looked at this recently in our Faith and Work series. What did God command mankind to do way back in Genesis? To have dominion. To have a degree of oversight. To care for, to nurture, to shepherd, to harness the potential of creation. To look after land, sea, and animals. And Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That was the original work mandate. And then if you're familiar with Scripture, you'll know that come the very next chapter, in chapter 3, suddenly work became incredibly hard. It was no longer a joy. It became difficult, fraught with challenges. The ground was cursed. Adam and his descendants had to really toil in tending livestock and growing food to eat from the ground. No longer were man in a perfect relationship with God. Their sin, their choice to rebel against God had separated them. And thus, God said, well, you've chosen this path and it ain't going to be easy for you. Work's going to be hard now. So what's all this got to do with technology, you might be thinking? Well, if you pay really close attention as you read Scripture, you'll see technology reference after reference after reference. How our foremothers, our forefathers created things with their God-given creativity, forms of technology, things that aided their work and, sometimes at least, they utilized for God's good and glory and, sadly, many, many times, for their own sinful, evil purposes. This is going to be a very, very speedy look, all right? So in Connect Groups, we're going to dive into this in detail, but this is going to be a very speedy overview of some examples of tech in Scripture. This list that I've taken has been adapted from Jeffrey L. Nyhoff and Stephen H. Vandalist from Calvin Uni in the US. So here we go. In Genesis 4:17, Scripture says that Cain built a city. There you go. Tech advancement. In Genesis 4:21, there's a description of the lineage of Cain. Jubal is described as the father of all who play the harp and flute. There you go, technological advancement of musical instruments. And in the following verse, Tubal Cain is a man who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Now, interestingly, who knows the type of metal that bronze is? Yeah, so what does that mean? It's an alloy. So it's not just a standard metal, but it's a mixing of metals to create a substance. So that's pretty big advancements in tech, even all the way back then. What about Noah? Genesis 6. He was directed by God to build an ark, and I'm sure when he first heard, he's like, what on earth is an ark? But fortunately, God told him and gave him some pretty detailed directions, and he followed them, and he built a very, very large and complex structure. See Genesis 6. What about the Tower of Babel? Not a highlight in God's story, but the tower, you know, that the tower almost is a symbol. It symbolizes man's sinful pride and rebellion against God. That's kind of what the tower symbolizes. But it also highlights the technological advancements, the developments of the day, the use or the adoption of the use of the brick, for example. You can see that in Genesis 11. What about early civil engineering projects? Digging of wells. Abraham and Isaac, they dug wells. See Genesis 21, Genesis 26. In Exodus 31 to 3, Bezalel is filled with the Spirit of God to build what? Build the tabernacle. And this is how he's described. With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and there's that alloy again, bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. Tech. Here's another not so good one. You might be familiar with this. Aaron famously fashioned an idol in the form of a golden calf, using a graving tool. You read Exodus 32:4, it says, with the use of a graving tool. King Solomon, what was he famous for? Building the temple. 1 Kings 6, he employed a man by the name of Hiram in 1 Kings 7, 13 to 14, who was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill for making any work in bronze. He came to King Solomon and did all his work. And then in 2 Chronicles 26, King Uzziah, I love that name, Uzziah. He employs skillful men, that's what the scripture says, to design machines or engines, depending on your translations, that shoot arrows and hurl large stones. But as this is a bit of a common thread, if you read the following verse, in verse 16, we see that Uzziah, the power and the fame actually go to his head and his pride leads to his downfall. What about Psalm 20? You might be familiar with this verse, verse 7. It examines human reliance on tech. That's what it ultimately does. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What about Isaiah prophecies? He prophesies that the people who go up on the mountain of the Lord will, in Isaiah 2:4, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Fast forward to the New Testament. Did Jesus ever talk tech? Very regularly. Just about every illustration, every parable that he shared had some kind of technological reference, an example, to get a message across to his audience. You know, houses in the story of the wise and foolish builders in Matthew 7, cities and lamps in Matthew 5, fishing nets in Matthew 13, oil lamps in Matthew 25, lost coins in Luke 15. And then the Apostle Paul, he utilized the latest in tech, letters. Letters that were scribed to encourage and spur people on in the churches that he'd helped establish all over the known world. And then, you know, Ephesians 6, a pretty famous passage on a certain bit of clothing, on the armor of God. That, again, is other tech. And here's a big picture one, we looked at God's story a few years ago, the big picture of what the Bible's talking about. Human history began with a garden, but it ends with the holy city, Revelation 21, verse 2, highlighting, I guess, the creativity, the innovation, and the technological developments that God helps to develop over time with his people. You know, as you can see, Scripture is full of tech, full of inventions developed to solve problems, make life easier, and sometimes to help in the beautification of God's world. So what are some takeaways that we can draw out of some of what we've looked at together when it comes to technology? I want to share three with us today, and here's the first. Technology in and of itself is neither bad nor good, but technology can be utilized for good or for evil. We see this illustrated many, many times, even in these passages of Scripture. We'll look at it in our Connect groups in detail. You'll see this over and over and over again. Think about the brick, for instance. What a wonderful gift the brick has been to us. And it continues to be. But the problem, though, and this goes straight really to the heart of the problem at the core of humanity, is that advancements in technology often lead us to become proud and confident in ourselves. Wouldn't you agree? You know, we saw it before. King Uzziah, he got the guys to make these special tools that would win him wars and make him a feared person among all the lands. And what happens? He became proud and God humbled him. What about the Tower of Babel? People came together, they thought themselves pretty good, they decided they didn't need God, and what do? They resolved to make a name for themselves. Reading Genesis 11:4, they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." In a nutshell, what happened in their hearts? They became proud. They became proud. They thought they were something because of their technology and construction skills. They thought they could do without God, and they rebelled, seeking to elevate themselves to the heavens, to a place of standing and prominence, instead of elevating and worshipping the Creator of the heavens. Yeah? They sinned. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride comes before a fall, and fall they certainly did." God confused them and then scattered them all over the earth. But you know what? The same can actually be true for us today, if we think about it. Because advancements in technology can be used for profound good or for profound evil. Think about something like AI, for instance. You know, computers that are not sentient, they can't think for themselves quite yet, as some fear they are or will soon become, but they're programmed to be incredibly intelligent through extensive data learning to solve complex problems, make life easier for us, theoretically at least, and sometimes they can actually be programmed in such a way that they help to extend God's kingdom in our world. Think about some of the good that we're already seeing from the development of technology and AI. Data entry and analysis. You know, something that would have taken days and days or even hours and hours for a human to complete, computations can be done, data entry can be done in a matter of seconds through technology, freeing up capacity for that worker to invest their time and their intellect in other tasks that they're responsible for, resulting in greater productivity and, for people who don't appreciate manually entering data, like me, likely higher levels of job satisfaction as well. Yeah? Win-win. What about the complicated, lengthy mathematical equations that mathematicians and engineers need to calculate on a daily basis? These calculations can now be done in a fraction of a time thanks to advancements in technology. Apparently, technology exists that can check the accuracy of computations, complex engineering computations, in no time at all, which, if you think about it, it actually ensures the flourishing and safety and longevity of God's creation. Because if the calculations were for a significant load-bearing structure, a bridge, a skyscraper, something like that, you'd really want those calculations to be accurate, wouldn't you? Yeah. Most of us. Well, what about What about technology that now allows for complex medical procedures to be done with the assistance of robots? From my research that I've been looking at the last couple of weeks, it seems that it's only a matter of time before technology will be widely available that will allow surgeons to complete complex life-saving surgeries, such as removing a complex brain tumour from someone's head, for instance, remotely, which means that the best surgeons in the world will now be widely available to perform this complex surgery on anyone regardless of where they are. Like, that is something, isn't it? Or what about this? A fantastic theological development in the field of Bible translation. Organizations are right now, as we speak, utilizing AI to fast-track Bible translation. Wycliffe Bible translators, for example, they're developing this tool called Greek Room, and they believe that this tool is going to allow local churches in the most remote parts of the world, which are really difficult to get to with the people that you need to spend the time and build relationships and do that translation process, to actually translate largely the Bible into their own language with the assistance of AI by themselves. Isn't that remarkable? And Wycliffe believe that this Greek Room technology will actually help them reach their goal of the Bible translated into all languages. I actually said that. In all languages by 2033. Isn't that remarkable? These are but a few examples of how technology is being harnessed for good, for human flourishing. Now, it's probably pretty easy to think of examples of how tech is not being used, how it's being used quite badly. You know, something good like an advancement in civilian drones, for instance, little aircrafts that can be programmed to fly great distances, photographers and videographers use them to capture the perfect image. These have now been adapted to be used for less than desirable purposes, tracking or spying on people. In the Russia and Ukraine war and other wars going on around the world, drones are being used daily as cheap programmable bombs, loaded up with a payload that upon impact causes incredible destruction, devastation and death to innocent civilians. It's tragic. Another example, AI programs have been developed to assist in the speedy creation of graphic designs. We use some of this even with some of our stuff here as a church. Photos, videos, advertising material. But sadly, some people have been exploiting this technology to develop what experts call deepfake content. Photos or videos that appear to be of someone, but they're actually artificially generated. They're not the person that's in the video at all. You know, there was a speech of Barack Obama doing the rounds a couple of years ago. It looked like him, it sounded like him, but it was completely computer generated. It wasn't him at all. And it was very hard to distinguish what was real from what was fake. And they're so lifelike, hence the name deepfake, that it's near impossible to tell the difference. And even in the recent US elections, there's been videos of candidates essentially denouncing themselves or their policies, and it's not actually them, but it's an artificially generated video of them. And of course, not only that, and this is really tragic, but the advancements in this form of technology have resulted in pornographic images and videos being made of people without their consent, who it's not actually them, but just a video, you know, artificial rendering of them. And you can only imagine how that is a horrific abuse of technology with long-lasting, far-reaching consequences for victims in our society, can't you? You can probably think of plenty of others, but this really highlights the point. Technology in and of itself is neither good nor bad, but technology can be utilized for good or for evil. And this leads to the second point. Technology can be beneficial, but technology isn't or shouldn't be the source of our ultimate satisfaction or safety. You know, Psalm 20, verse 7 illustrates this perfectly. We read it before. The psalmist writes, "Some trust in chariots, technology, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." You know, technology ain't all bad, but as with any good thing, we're susceptible to worshiping the gift instead of the giver of that gift. Looking to receive from the gift what can only be received from relationship with the giver, Jesus. I mean, we can think of a really practical faith example. There are so many apps. There are so many resources out. You know, Gabe mentioned one this morning that I love too. I love the YouVersion app. I love the reading plan. It is such a gift. Apps like YouVersion, it's something that I use every single day. Such an encouragement. It's great. It aids us. It spurs us on to look to Jesus, to better connect with God, to better understand his kingdom priorities and ways, as long as we utilize technology like this to actually connect with the Lord and not just connect with fancy apps or engaging videos or, you know, whatever it is. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so easy to use an app or a website and be blessed in a sense or encouraged as we read scripture or prayer prompts, but sometimes these good things can even distract us from the true treasure of actually knowing and enjoying and experiencing relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a YouVersion advocate. I love the app. I get encouraged each day when I see my daily streak go up or I see how far through the reading plan I am and how many days in a row I've been in God's Word. Like that spurs me on to continue on and keep connecting. But I think, and maybe this is just me, I think it's probably not, but it's too easy for us as humans to get caught up in enjoying the gifts and maybe missing the reason why it is we're actually utilizing the gift to develop intimacy with the giver of all good gifts. Yeah? Further to that, I think we need to be careful that we're not trusting in technology at the expense of trusting in our Almighty God. Who knows that that's really easy to do today? It is so easy to do today. Consider the medical field, for example. That's easy to do, isn't it? The technological developments in the medical field have been remarkable in recent years. New forms of non-invasive surgery, new forms of non-invasive scans, medications that are freely available on the Medicare rebate and things like that, that professionals living 100 years ago would never have even dreamed about in their wildest dreams. They just would have thought, that is not even possible that we could ever have something like that. And yet they're here. They're here. All sorts of things, truly wonderful developments in this space. And yet, we'd be wise to remember, as wonderful as technological developments are in the medical field, they are not ultimately what sustains us or gives us life. Yeah? God is the one who sustains our life. He is the giver and the author of life, as the writer of Acts says. We exist because of him, and we are all here still breathing right now at 11:34 because he wills that we would. Yeah? Our security, our identity, our safety is not in technological developments. Our safety and our security ultimately, or should be, is in Christ alone. Who's with me? Yeah. That's the second. So technology can be beneficial, but technology isn't or shouldn't be the source of our ultimate satisfaction or safety. And here's the third and final point I want to share. Technology can assist and complement humans, but technology can never replace humans. You know, there are so many ways that technology does enrich our lives and aids us as we seek to faithfully follow and serve Jesus. You know, many of us in the work season, we might utilize tech to help us work more efficiently, to work diligently as to the Lord, and to work more efficiently and to give our best, knowing that we're not just serving our boss, we're also serving the Lord. In being better equipped with educational tools to support us as we seek to raise children who know and love Jesus. In as simple as, and who remembers back to 2020? We don't want to think back to 2020, but remember back? What was great about technology in 2020?
Zoom.
Absolutely. That was an absolute lifeline for the church through COVID. It was. I hate to think where our church would be if not for Zoom and our early adoption of Zoom. It, you know, technology helps to keep us connected with others, allowing us to be present with people. You know, it's not as good as face-to-face, but still present with people we care for even when we can't be physically present with them. But here's the thing that no tech or robot can ever do. Why they can't replace a human being, a unique, precious person created in God's own image. Here's the thing, friends. You're special. You can't be replicated. You have things to offer that no complex thing created by man could ever possibly dream up or even do. You are an image bearer of God himself. How's this play out practically? Well, I think a really timely example would be aged care. Aged care. As good as a robot might be in providing a sense of company and even some degree, some level of conversation for an isolated aged care resident, a robot can never, no matter the technological advancements, it will never be able to offer what a human being can offer to another human being. That human element, that human compassion, concern, love, genuine warmth, a human touch. All things that reflect the love and the character of God that can only be offered through those who bear his own image. Yeah? Let's make this super clear. No matter the technological advancements that we see come about in our world in the years ahead, there will always be important roles for you and I to play in society. There always will be. I'm convinced that one thing that we'll need to do more and more and more in the decades ahead as technology continues to advance is actually to resist the urge to outsource things that God calls us to do on his behalf. Yeah? We'll need to actively stand and resist the urge to outsource things that God calls us to do as his followers on his behalf. Think about this. It'd be very easy for us in time, even right now, really, it's at that kind of point, that we could easily offload visiting and maintaining relationship with the sick, for example. Would you agree? You know, we could easily rely even now on technology to support and to care for our sisters and brothers in the faith who now call an aged care facility home. It'd be very easy for us to do, to let the AI chatbot have conversations with and provide encouragement to people who are in prison, for instance. The list could go on and on and on. And we know what Jesus says by if you did this for, don't we? If you visit prison, it's like you visit me. If you feed the hungry, it's like The list could go on and on and on, but you know what I'm saying. No matter the technological advancements that we see come about in the world in the years ahead, and man, if we think just back over the last 10 years how many there's been, can you imagine with the growth in AI and everything how quickly tech will change? There will always be important roles for you and for me to play in society. Roles for us to play as we partner with Jesus to see his kingdom come, his world beautified, and his will done still in the world. So let's recap before we close in prayer and just invite Holy Spirit to help us as we go from this place today. So the first is, technology in and of itself is neither good nor bad, but technology can be utilized for good or evil. And the second, technology can be beneficial, but technology isn't or shouldn't be the source of our ultimate satisfaction or safety. And three, technology can assist and complement humans, but technology can never replace humans. Friends, we don't need to fear technology. We can use technology for good. We can actually creatively use tools created by man for God's glory and for the good of the world, as people have done for generations. But here's the thing. There's an if with that. We can use technology. We can not fear. We can confidently walk forward if we allow the Spirit to guide us in how we go about utilizing technology, in having wisdom and discernment for adopting certain forms of technology, not just blindly accepting everything and go, oh, this is amazing, let's take it on, but allowing the Spirit to guide us and even prompt us and think about the ethical implications of certain forms of technology, or even what that technology might do in drawing me away from reliance on God. We need to be Spirit-led, friends, as always, but I feel increasingly so as the world grows more and more tech-central. And let's just take a moment and ask him to give us a fresh touch of wisdom from above as we commit ourselves to following and trusting Jesus and him alone in our tech-saturated world. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for the word. Thank you for James, where he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so, God, we do want to do that right now, God. We want to ask for wisdom from above, not earthly wisdom. Not even if we're quite tech savvy, not even the wisdom that we think we possess and kind of we've got a good handle on it. No, Lord. We want to be open to your voice. We want to receive your wisdom. We want to walk confidently, knowing that we're keeping in step with you, Holy Spirit, even on a topic such as technology. God, we see the good that's come from tech. And Lord, we see the terrible evil that has come as a result of tech. And God, we just pray that you would give us real wisdom, real understanding, real discernment as we walk in and live in this tech-saturated world. It's everywhere. We can't escape it. But Lord, would you cause us to be people who would harness technology for good, that we would grow as people who can discern what tech to take on and what to avoid. And God, ultimately, that we would, with your help, resist the urge to outsource the kingdom things that you actually desire for us to fulfill and resist the urge from handballing them to technology to do for us. God, we want to be led by you. We want to be obedient to you. So help us, God, to grow as people who utilize tech for your good, for your glory, and that in our utilization of tech, God, that your world would become a far more beautiful and Jesus-reflecting place than ever before. So, God, have your way in us, we pray. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Shape us to be reliant on you in our tech-saturated world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.